right, here we go. Hello, everybody. This is Zach Evanesh. With great honor, I'm with Dan John. And those of you who have been following my blog or wherever you actually come across this audio, two ways to connect with Dan and really get a lot of info from him is at danjohn.net, and that's spelled DanJohn.net, as well as DaveDraper.com. And both awesome websites, and this is going to be phenomenal info. Anybody who's actually listening has seen some of the blog posts I put with inspiring videos and inspiring workouts that Dan has pushed me and my athletes through. It's amazing stuff. So, Dan, I'm honored and I'm grateful for your time. So thank you, first of all.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you. This is nice.
This is going to be a good time. So what I want to get into is for your philosophy and your style behind training. I love it. The emphasis on work capacity, athleticism, strength, and power endurance. You're not, like, so crazy about sticking behind every, you know, scientific, piece of evidence in a workout. You're more in the trenches. And reading your book, Never Let Go, the influences that you were basically hit upon from the 70s, talking about running into Robbie Robinson in the gym and on the beach. It's awesome. So talk to us about what are really the themes, I guess, behind your philosophy and training and how you organize workouts for your athletes. What has been some of the major influences that have helped you shape the way you train and the way you advise other people to train?
Well, I'd say the number one influence is I started, in 66, you know? And so, I mean, I've been around long enough to see things a little clearer. I mean, I see these things come and go. Personally, my biggest influence would probably be Dick Notmeyer, Pacifica Barbell Club, and Coach Ralph Maughan at Utah State, Bob Lahotti at Skyline College. What you're going to get from those guys is that this idea is that you got to show up. You got to show up 5 days a week, 7 days a week. You got to do it over 4 years, 8 years, and that's the thing most people miss. They come in and they want this perfect program. I get this stuff all the time. We'll write up a nice thing. We'll have this discussion on the web. Then somebody will come in and say, "Well, what's the rest period?" It's like, "What do you mean, what's the rest period?" You know, 3 years. I don't know what it is. 20 seconds. They don't understand that. You know, everyone thinks that. I mean, this is true. This, no offense to you, this younger generation, but they think that this is this, I'm going to press a button, print on the computer, and you're going to have something that's going to work for 5 years. That's just not true. You need to, you need to bang around some ideas. You need to really expand things. You got to try variations. You got to, and that's the key. I mean, I would say probably 80% of what I do in the gym never changes, but that other 20% is constantly new and better ideas. And then what we'll notice is we'll be sitting around for a couple months, and the kids or my other coaches will say, "Hey, we haven't done this in a long time." And I look at them like, "Oh, yeah, I wonder why." And we forgot. There's just so many things we can do. You have no idea how many things. Okay, so we have hurdles in our weight room, okay? So you can do hurdle walkovers, or you can put, farmer bars in your hands, and we call those chicken thieves, and you can walk over the hurdles with the farmer walk. Or you can hold a kettlebell in the rack position and walk over it. Or you can hold the kettlebells overhead and walk over it like that. Well, that's by itself, what I just told you, is a really, really hard workout. You probably are done for the day. And that's the thing. So just with a set of hurdles, I have 50 variations. I've got sleds. You can pull them or you can drag them. Well, then, of course, you can put kettlebells on you while I do it. Then you can, So no matter what it is, there's so many variations that you just keep whipping through all these ideas. The sad thing is that you'll forget all the. That's why you need to write them down, put them on the web, put them in an article, because you'll forget them yourself. So my influence is, the influence is this, and this is what I've learned from my great mentors. The basics always work. It's always going to be the basics. Picking it up, putting it overhead, carrying it. That's the most important thing. Showing up a couple days a week is really important. Giving yourself a couple years is really important. Learning all the power lifts, all the Olympic lifts, all the kettlebell moves, some gymnastics moves, some tumbling, calisthenics is all important. Doing, so it's not going to be this printout of, you know, on Monday you do this, on Thursday you do that, and then you're done. And that's the great insight that I've gotten over all these years. The big mistake, Zach, I think that most, you know, and I've said this in an article not long ago, when I was growing up, once a month Strength and Health would come out. And once a month you might get one goofy idea and try it, okay? So once a month you might do something that was really smart or really stupid, depending on how, you know, if the article said do 75 sets of behind neck press, by the end of that month your shoulders were gone. So, but it was a bad idea, but you got this great, next month came up and they said to do, you know, something new and exciting, and you went to that. But with the internet, you can get a stupid idea literally every 5 seconds, right? So you've got these guys out there combining all these things that God never meant them to be combined into. And so I guess the best second bit of advice I can give anybody you want is to is stop listening to every voice in the wind, you know?
Yep.
Is you have to sit down, master something, not even master it, get at least not bad with something, and then move on. So I hope that answered a little bit of that question.
Yeah, I think it's, I love it, and I'm on the verge of turning 34. You know, my experience is nowhere near yours, but one thing I know, like what you're saying, is I know I've seen like some places where they recommend a program, they say if you've been training for a year, you're advanced. Well, I'm on 21 years. I started training when I was 13, and when I'm training, like the other day I was deadlifting and I switched my grip, which I haven't done for years, and I was like, man, I still don't feel like I'm an advanced lifter. Like, two decades down the road, there's just so much to learn, and I guess even though you and I are both on the internet, I sometimes wonder if possibly maybe the worst thing to happen for some people is the internet. Because there's so much.
Well, and it's absolutely true. You're right, and of course you bring the next big question is when are you advanced? You know, there is very few people that I read on the internet who could probably train with a high school football team. You know, I mean, I read about these guys bragging about these. I mean, this is, hey man, I finally did this lift, and it's like, okay, at my high school we have 60 kids who can do that in high school, and we're a very small 3A school. You know, down the street we got these massive 5A schools that might have 200 kids who could do that. And the thing that hurts a lot of people is that the next wave will be interesting. You know, when a whole bunch of this, you know, it'll be interesting when a lot of these kids now who are going to start getting on the net, who came up with through high school doing the power clean and the bench press, the squats, and all the different things. You know, I think it'll be, the bar will be raised a little bit. So, you know, being an expert is going to be a little bit more difficult. Being advanced is going to be a little higher. You know, we train kids now. You know, a senior in high school at this school has been lifting weights for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you get a kid and they go off to, you know, these Division I programs, and you know, their strength there's the strength coach. One of my kids went to a school. Their strength coach is going to visit here next week to find out what we do in the high school programs.
Awesome.
He's a strength coach at a college, and he's coming down to see what we're doing. And that is indicative of what's going on.
Yeah.
Everybody can be an expert. Everybody can take, like those, you know, everybody can have a bunch of letters behind their name. That doesn't mean you know what you're doing in the weight room. You know, I don't personally care what any of the muscles' names are. I have no interest at all in what the nervous system does. If my nervous system stops working, I'm done. I don't need to know anything about it. You know, everyone knows. I mean, God, I'll go to these clinics and people tell me, yeah, they'll start to swing their shoulder around and they'll say they got an impediment of the inhibition of the something, something, something. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? Your shoulder hurts. Yeah, my shoulder hurts. Yeah, that's all I need to know. Don't, you know, take a day off. So that's, the downside for me is I'm old school enough to still be like that grouchy trainer in the original Rocky, you know, Mick. It's like, you know, tough it out. And on the other side, you hit it around the point. Everybody's advanced now. Every single poster on the internet is an advanced trainer. And they're just not. You know, until you've, and then I mean, I don't want to throw the numbers out, but the numbers are bigger than you think, you know, before you're advanced. You know, we're joking earlier about everybody. Every single guy coming out of college now wants to be out of high school, wants to be an ultimate fighter. Well, they never wrestled one time in high school, but now they want to do some pull-ups and some pull-ups and some sit-ups and drag a wheelbarrow around for 20 minutes and then get in the ring and fight somebody. It's the same problem in that sport. If you've never been punched in the mouth or wrestled somebody, you're probably not yet ready for ultimate fighting. You might need another weekend, huh?
It's definitely changed. And when I, you know, what my good friend Jim Wendler says, he's always like, back when we didn't have the internet, we were forced to think for ourselves. You had to experiment. You had to test drive what worked, what didn't work. Your only way to learn was to lift. That was your only way. And to be around other lifters.
And anything Jim says is right. He's very good. He's very good. And, the, you know, the truth is, you know, when you heard a new trick like chains, somebody come back from a clinic and say, hey, man, this is what they're doing. This thing we did back in the 70s called speed squats, you know, where you went down slow, pause, and then try to come up as fast as you can. Basically what chains do for you now. Man, it was like gems. You know, we'd write it down in our journal, and we'd look at each other like, wow, this is the secret. This is the secret. Well, how many secrets can you find today on the internet? You know, these two secrets will take rip fat loss off you like anything nothing you've ever done before. And the secrets are, you know, like drink water and take fish oil. I mean, you know, they're just, you know, but you get that 100 times a day. So I think you're on the right track there, Zach, yeah.
If we had to solve things, I always said, like, if you don't understand anything, understand hard work.
Yeah.
If you work hard, even at the wrong stuff, you will make gains. And that was something that I always remembered from a old bodybuilding gym I went to. And I remember walking in every time and sometimes saying, like, the hell are those guys doing? Even though they were doing stuff wrong, the unsaid rule was don't talk and train hard. And that was like the unsaid rules. That's what you understood. Even if even cable crossovers were done heavy and hard back in that gym. But it was, you know, people were getting under the bar. They were training. And some of the things that I think I've connected with, because perhaps growing up training before the internet ever came and reading all the old bodybuilding books and reading The Education of a Bodybuilder probably 300 times, was some workouts should be crazy and should have really no following of any kind of rules of 3 sets of 10 or 5x5 or 8x3. And one, you know, I really feel like I connect with you. That really hit me, and I've done it with my own workouts, with my athletes, was in that chapter of Never Let Go, which I think you called it Litvey squats, which is when you hit the front squat superset with the sprints.
Yeah.
Which was, that yeah, guy was a, what was he, a discus or shot thrower?
Hammer.
Hammer thrower, yet he was sprinting the 400 after, you know, supersetting 8 reps on a front squat with 405. Is that right, 405?
Yeah. It was 180 kilos, so 396, but yeah, still. Yeah.
Close, that's right, good. Close enough. But
close enough.
If we were to, like, break it down scientifically, we'd say, all right, he's doing 8 reps when he could probably just do 1 or 2 reps, and he doesn't have to sprint that far. But that guy was a bad mofo. And looking at that, yeah, maybe it's not perfectly scientific. But, man, that is what I would call a crazy workout. And we had our guys doing it. We would trap our deadlift, sprint around the gym. Or we would kettlebell front squat, sprint around the gym next door. Or we even did the back squat or the Zercher squat. To me, it didn't matter. What mattered was these guys were getting under the bar and pushing limits and taking their body outside comfort zones and training, you know, for that speed and endurance. I thought that workout, as simple as it was, it looked extremely simple on paper. Squat for 5 reps, 5 to 10 reps, sprint around the gym next door. You know, my guys were like, it doesn't look too hard. We cranked that workout. I was like, they knew who Dan John was after that workout.
Well, and that, it's funny you say it sounds crazy, but that's normal training for me.
Yeah.
The Litvinov is more normal than 5 sets of 10. See, I find it when I come to a gym and see someone doing lat pulldowns, I look at them like, God, they're just a waste of time. I mean, and it's just funny to hear you. It's just funny because, you know, for me, doing front squats, you know, doing farmer bars, you know, doing all that stuff is just regular stuff.
Yep.
And it's just, I mean, to me, it, you know, the people are like, oh, you do that strongman training. No, I'm doing farmer bars, you know. And it's funny to hear people think my workouts are odd. And, of course, I look at them and go, well, when's the last time you won anything big? You know, this guy doing five sets of curls and five sets of lat pulldowns. When's the last time you won something? When's the last time you got a trophy? When's the last time, you know, people applauded you? Never would be the correct answer. And then you got guys like me and the people I work with. We do all this, what these people at the spa do, consider weird, and we dominate. It's like, until I get beat by a guy doing five sets of 10 in the lat pull, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so we talk about a workout like that. That's a little bit crazy. And I think lucky for me is my earliest influences when I finally got away from bodybuilding was coming across the stuff that you were doing, which was just put weight over your head. And some mm-hmm. of my workouts would be 5 to 10 reps of a different overhead tool. So it would be get the keg overhead for 5 to 10, then the barbell, then the dumbbell, then the dumbbells, then the sandbag, then the stone. And it was one thing after another of getting stuff over my head that really started changing my physical performance, and also doing that with my guys. And I think a lot of people, there's those kind of split schools. There are people that are like, you got to follow science. You could only train for so many weeks before you're burnt out. And then I say to myself, but what about the mental aspect of training, which I think when I look at your warm-up, when you say the warm-up is the workout and your warm-up is awesome, it's got the goblet squats, the overhead, the rack, and the farm walk and the hurdles. And like you said, that warm-up becomes a workout, but I think also the one factor that a lot of people forget to say is sometimes our training has to really ditch all that science shit and just get these guys to be mentally tougher and get that kind of that warrior attitude back in them.
You see, I think you're correct on that. I think you're very correct on that. Yeah. It is. Yeah, you're right. I mean, see, I think everything is one piece. So if you're training on a machine,
you know, are you
training all, what you just said, warrior, but are you training those other emotional, you know, when I compete, I have to be emotional. When I compete, I have to be, in a sense, spiritual or whatever. I know what I mean. But
yep.
And if you're doing something that's like a machine, but they're not just the machine itself. But the idea of doing 5 sets of 10 with 90 seconds rest, that's machine training. But I'm not coming at you in sport every 90 seconds. Mm.
Right.
It might be 12 seconds, it might be 25 seconds, it might be an hour, it might be years. And if you get yourself caught into this whole, you know, this whole, you follow my point, right? Yeah. You're not going to get these things done, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to prepare yourself for the war. And I hate to call it a war, but you know, you're not going to, and then in life too, you know. That's why I think Litvinovs are such a good workout, because it's so much parallels life. You're doing one thing and then you're asked to go do something else.
Yeah,
you know,
which I think is, yeah, the way I kind of describe it is I say I'm like a soul lifter, which is like you've heard of soul surfers. They'll surf on any kind of surfboard. They'll body surf. They'll have a short board, a long board, but they love to surf, and they'll go surfing. If the surf is good, they'll miss their best friend's wedding. It's kind of like guys like us who are like, we love to lift, and it's got to be something pretty wild and that we're connected to spiritually. And when I tell people, I'm like, when you train, it's got to go beyond the physical. You got to be very connected to it. And that's why I was really heavily influenced when I saw your DVD. I think it was called Carried Away, and you guys were training. It looked like some back trails area. You'd drag a sled, then you'd grab a barbell. And I was like, you know what we got to start doing is let's go through the woods, and I would take my wrestlers, and we would run the trails. And if we'd come upon a stone, we'd clean and press it, or we'd
sure,
squat
that's
it.
A good idea.
And then
yeah.
we'd carry it until we could no longer carry it, put it down, and then we're going to run to the next area, and we're going to jump over, you know, over down trees. And seeing what you did, that's the first thing that really hit my brain. I was like, this training has no rules. There are mm-hmm. really no rules to this, but we look back and I say those are some of the best damn workouts we ever went through.
Exactly. And I agree with you 1,000,000,000% on that. I really, I think you're totally on the right track. And what you're talking about is my basic training. This is what we basically do. And the thing is, when people ask me, you know, Dan, we design a workout, you know, I doubt, you know, this is on the other end of this, but if I tell you I want you to do a hang power snatch, I know exactly what that means to me. Take the weight from just below the knee and snatch it, and you don't bend your knees much. I'll get 5 email back. What do you mean by hang? What do you mean by power? What do you mean by snatch? Well, how can I design a workout for you if we don't even have the basic language together? There's an exercise called the goblet squat. Well, I know what it is, and maybe you know what it is, but people who want workouts from me, and so what happens is, or you try to do a workout and you've got this manual in front of you, and the exercise says Bulgarian split side squats, and you have to put your leg up on a wall. And I mean, how much load can you use if you're looking at a book while you're doing a lift? You know? And so what happens is when you go down this road into these programs where everything becomes so locked down, tied down, so minutia, you miss the big picture, which is to go out and have some fun and train. It's fun to train, I think. Yep. When you're training correctly, it's I think it's fun. You know.
You gotta love it. I don't want to take away too much of your time, and I know you're in between classes. You kind of touched on this a little bit when we first started speaking in the interview about some, I guess, your mentors. I don't know if anybody really asked you, like, you've been training, like you said, since the late 60s. You've gone through all those, I guess, different eras of training. Mm-hmm. You've seen the golden era. You've seen, like, when it went through bodybuilding and fitness, and now there's quite an array of different training styles. What, like, people or events or anything in particular motivated you and still motivates you through this day that really sticks kind of in your gut, in your heart, that kind of shapes your training and the training of others and how you train? Any particular events, people, places?
Oh, hundreds.
I know Never Let Go really covers this, but
I mean, hundreds. I mean,
really stands
sure.
out?
Well. Well, I'll tell you one. It's going to be an odd one. It was my last high school football game, Thanksgiving Day, 1974, and Coach DeYoung, we had these guys from San Mateo. We were going to win. I think it was 21-12, and he called this bizarre little halfback pass back to the quarterback where he threw the ball. Guy threw the ball across the field, not vertical but horizontal. And we knew, everybody on the defense knew, that was a play that doesn't work in street football. And we all knew it was failing. It was a mistake. So the guy picks it and runs it back, and then we lose. We lose the game. And on the bus ride home, I can remember thinking, all I ever wanted to do my whole life was play football for South City High. That's all I ever wanted to do. But then I thought, well, maybe I can be all-league or all-county, and I got zeroed out of both of those, which made no sense. I mean, I thought. And then at the banquet, basically what I heard was Dan, John, comma, you know, this and that. I mean, honestly, if they mentioned me for more than 7 seconds, I was shocked. On the ride home with my dad, I said to him very simply, that will never, ever happen to me again. I'll never be ignored again. And for whatever that banquet, whatever fired me up, all those years of dedication to that program, and that's all I heard from him, that's all I got out of him, that was a moment where I said no. And that's when I started going home every night. I mean, I started lifting weights like a maniac. I mean, I bench press 5 to 8 times a week. I incline bench press 3 times a week. I'm not saying this is perfect. I did stadium steps until I couldn't do stadium steps anymore. Later on, I went to a weightlifting meet because I want to learn the Olympic lifts, and that's where I met Dick Notmar. But the fruits of all my stories are always losses and negative. You know, you learn nothing from winning. You don't. I mean, we've just won our second straight football championship here. And you can see already the impact. My athletes aren't learning. But, you know, we're the champions, you know. But what the kids forget is what brought them the championship was 3 years ago when a senior class really led them. They weren't a very talented team in a lot of ways, but they really worked hard, and these two classes have got gained the benefits of it. They lost, and so they overcame it. So over and over in my career, it's usually the losses that bring it back. When I blew my knee out my junior year, you know, I was on crutches, you know, and then 6 weeks later, winning the league championship. The reason I won the league championship was the 3 weeks I was on crutches, wanting to get back with all my heart and soul just to beat people again.
Yeah.
Okay? So for most of us, very rarely do you find it a golden white moment. It's almost always from the depths of something, and at least that's the way I work. But it is odd, you would think, that there'd be a story of victory or something like that. Oh, there's times. I mean, I pulled them. I mean, there's many times I'd pull it out of my ass and, you know, really impress some people with, you know, where did that come from? And I'll answer, I don't know. But the correct answer, instead of saying, I don't know, the correct answer is, yeah, it was those hours and hours and hours I trained and trained and trained that gave me the platform that could pop that, you know, great throw out or whatever it was. Okay?
Yeah, I think... I love it. I got one more question for you, because when I hear you speak, it just reminds me of a rare breed. Kind of, you know, Jim Wendler, Coach Ethan Reeve, a handful of others, but it seems like most people are still resisting it. What are your thoughts on, a lot of people ask, they're like, man, what, like, they're like, you need to open up a hardcore gym like this. Most people say, like, hardcore gyms that would kind of be, you know, would cater and accommodate to people like yourself, myself. What do you think the future is on gyms like that? Do you think those kind of gyms will come around for the general public?
No.
Too hard?
Nope. Yeah. Nah. Well, because, well, you know, one of the things I said about a couple of weeks ago, I said, if the economic downturn is going to be great for track and field, because mommies aren't going to be dropping all that money on little kiddies' tennis lessons and little Eddie's, you know, specialized lacrosse lessons, you know, and
right.
The $1,200 a month. Track and field will boon from it, because track and field is such a simple sport. But then I stopped and I said, what the hell are you saying? Track and field is a perfect sport. It's a perfect sport. Here's the thing. You find out very quickly, you know, I can BS you all I want, but track and field doesn't. You get out there and you get smoked. Now, you can get better,
yeah,
but it's not going to be through magic, you know, magic things and, you know, you going to a clinic. It's you putting the work in.
Right.
So the hardcore gym idea, you know, I went down to the original Gold's Gym, the real one, you know, the one that was on Venice Beach. I was, you know, Muscle Beach. I was there. You know, I trained in the first World Gym, you know, when it was up that flight of stairs. You know, Danny Padilla was doing leg curls, and, you know, Lou Ferrigno and Danny Padilla were doing leg curls, and Arnold came in to give him some, you know, just to, you know, yell, kind of make fun of him. That could happen again. You know, West Side, that could happen again. But even West Side, you know, it kind of comes and goes, right? You know, they're looking for people again.
Yep.
It is hard to keep it going. You know, I recommend to people all the time, open a kettlebell-only gym. Very, very cheap investment.
Yeah.
You can, you know, organize it like a Bikram yoga club, and, you know, but that might work. But we are glutted with spas. We are glutted with spas. Every kid in my school has a membership to a gym. I was at the gym last night, Coach. I met this guy. He was so buff. And what's he on the 40th? I don't know. He was buff, man. He was doing so much. And so what? You're an athlete, not a... You know, and why was an adult male talking to a teenage boy at a gym? Exactly what part of did you miss all those training sessions on? Yeah. You know, do you like gladiator movies?
I'm telling you, I say the same thing. Sometimes the kids I train, like, I've been doing a lot of research on the internet on how to eat right. I said, what the heck are you doing research on the internet on how to eat right? 99% of things you're going to find are some fabricated ideas. What happened to the information I gave you last month? Oh, yeah. And it just comes from you. Do what your mom always told you. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Drink a lot of milk. Get your 8 hours of sleep every night.
Man, you know what? If you just that, do that, you'd be okay. Yeah,
yeah, that would be pretty fun. Damn good.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? But so yeah, I you ask a question. I'm not saying people are pansies or anything like that. It's just that sometimes, I mean, you know, I was in the Sports Palace team when the Sports Palace was the best Olympic lifting team in the nation. But it was just like this. It's a clustering of events sometimes. And man, if you're in the cluster, you don't even know how great it is until it's over. You just don't. I mean, gosh, guys like Dan Contori, Kenny Clark, Mario Martinez, Bruce Wilhelm, all those guys, and I'm just saying 20th of the names, all those guys trained at the same place at the same time. Down at San Jose when they had Wilkins and Powell and all those guys competing every weekend, and, you know, I'd go to a track meet and not even make the final with a throw that was a nationally serious toss, and I wouldn't even make the top 8 or 12. I mean, geez. Clustering. You just luck out on that stuff. But boy, if you can get it to happen, make it happen.
Nice.
So I don't know how you invent the clusters. You've got that. I think it happens sometimes at our kettlebell things, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
There are times at those kettlebell gatherings, the RKC things, you sit around and, you know, guys are spitballing stuff and it really starts to take off. It becomes very, very impressive.
Yes. That's cool. Yeah. I don't want to take up any more of your time, so
sure.
I can't thank you enough. This was really an honor because you've been a huge influence since my early days, and it's definitely shaped me to be better at what I
do,
and also the kids that we train. So they know who Dan John is. They may not like you, but you know.
I always, whenever there's a hard workout, they tend to put my name on it somehow.
I know, it makes it easier. They're like, where the hell did that workout come from? And I tell them at the end, I go, at the end, we'll do a 5-minute story time. Story time's always good.
Good stuff.
Oh, man. Well, listen, Dan, this was awesome. When we hang up, what I'll do is it takes a few minutes for the file to load. I'll email you the file, and I'll also do follow-up email with you. And anything you need from me, don't hesitate to ask. I don't know how I can return the favor, but you name it, and I'll get it done.
Don't worry about it. Hey, it was nice talking. I really, really enjoyed it.
It was a pleasure. Thanks a lot, Dan. Everybody listening, danjohn.net, the new website is just, it is really the hub of Dan stuff. I know a lot of people had to kind of go to different websites. Now this is the hub. There's a blog, his products, and if you could really sit down and print out these things and read, you'll be educated, motivated, inspired, and you'll be part of the rare breed that is ready to work hard. So, Dan, thanks again. Everybody, thanks for listening. This is Zach Kevnish and Dan John. All right, Dan, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Okay, talk to you
soon.
Bye-bye.